The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of fire, F-I-R-E, fire. And the main thought that's on my heart is that we contrast the difference in the fiery judgments of God and the fiery trials that sometimes come into the lives of God's dear children. Fiery judgments come into the lives of God's people as well as fiery trials. The fiery judgments come when we're walking contrary to God's Word, and the fiery trials come when we're walking faithfully, trying to serve the Lord. We still will have fiery trials in our lives. In fact, three of the songs that we sang tonight talked about the fiery trials that we have while we live here in this world. So we have fiery judgments when we walk contrary to God's Word, and we have fiery trials even while we're walking in humble obedience to the teachings and commandments of God. We will not be exempt of trouble while we live in this world. Whether we obey God or whether we disobey God, we're still going to have troubles in our lives. There's a major difference in having troubles and feeling God's presence comforting and helping us in our troubles versus the troubles being the judgment, the fiery judgments of God, where we cannot find and feel comfort and help from the Lord. I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is one of the four chapters that I mentioned to you this morning that I would like for you to study. I'm not going to try to go through this entire chapter tonight, but there is one portion of this chapter that I want us to look at. This chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 32 is talking about how God helped and blessed Israel. Very similar, this in Deuteronomy chapter 32 is very similar to the passage that we looked at this morning from Ezekiel chapter 16, where the Word of God described Jerusalem as, and the nation of Israel, the people of God, as being like a baby that was cast out into an open field. And now this is talking about another kind of, or a different kind of way is described here, of God finding His people and blessing His people. If you will, look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to first read three or four verses. First three. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3, the Word of God says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock." And I want you to remember that expression where Moses here says, "He is the rock. God is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment." I want you to remember that now. All His ways are judgment, because that's what we're going to be looking at, is the judgment of God upon His people. All His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Now come down to verse 9, because the next several verses between verses 9 and 14 are going to be describing a situation very similar to what we looked at this morning where we saw the baby cast out into the field. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him." Now, "he found him." Who are the pronouns referring to there? That's right. God found Jacob, and Jacob represents Israel here. God found Jacob in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eyes. God blessing Jacob here. God found him where? Where did God find him? In the desert, in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth." Is this similar? Do all of you remember what we looked at this morning? He made him ride on the high places of the earth. What does this say? That God took Israel and God found him in a waste howling wilderness, and God lifted him up and made him ride in the high places. He blessed him abundantly. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat of the increase of the fields, and made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But, now, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? In spite of all that God has done for Jeshurun or Jacob or Israel, in spite of all God has done for them, how is Israel going to react to all the blessings that God has poured out? They're going to rebel. Verse 15 says, But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock, now listen carefully, I want you to please follow this in God's word in verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Now are we talking about those that are not children of God, or are we talking about children of God here? Talking about children of God. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. That's what we tried to study this morning, is that thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. You have not remembered what God has brought you up out of. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Verse 19 says, And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Does God sometimes abhor his own children? Is this talking about children of God? What does the Word of God say? In verse 19 it says, And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. Do you remember what we looked at last week? Last Sunday we tried to look. I know, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says, I'm going to hide my face from them. Does God sometimes hide his face from his people? Have you ever had God hide his face from you? Have you ever tried to seek the Lord and you could not find him? Some people have the idea that God is up there, and that any time you want to, that God is just up there begging and pleading, and you can ignore him and you can walk contrary to his word. And then when trouble comes in your life, all you have to do is call on him and he'll be right there to answer your prayers. Listen, you go home and read and study the Word of God, and you'll find that God tells his people that when they reject him, he will reject them. That when they fail to hear his cry of warning, then he will not hear their cry when they cry to the Lord. Verse 20 says, And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Who is he talking about in verse 21? That foolish nation, those people that were not a people. Who is that?
Gentiles.
That's the Gentiles. Now listen carefully to verse 22. What did I tell you that we're going to be studying about tonight? Somebody tell me, what did I say we're going to be studying about? Fire. And the first thing we're going to be looking at is not fiery trials, but the first thing we're going to be looking at is the fiery judgments that God sends on his people when they walk contrary to his word. When we harden our hearts and we go away from God and we forget and we do not remember the days of our youth and we don't think about what God has done for us and we don't serve God and worship God and praise God in spite of all God is doing for us, when we neglect God, The Word of God is going to make it clear that He will send fiery judgments in our lives. Verse 22, God says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger." Now, usually when you think of fire, somebody tell me what you think about. Brother Brooks, when you think of fire, tell me what you think about. Anybody? Okay, punishment. What else? When you think of fire? Okay, think of eternal hell. I think that usually when we think of fire, we think of eternal hell. And I think that's exactly what the only thing the devil wants us to think about is, because if all we think about when we read about hell, or the only thing we think about when we think of fire is eternal hell, and we know that we're God's children, and we know that we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, then what feeling do we have about any fiery judgment? Where do we place those fiery judgments in our minds if we don't understand the truth? Where do we place all of those fiery trials, the fiery judgments? We place them eternally at the end of the time world, and there is no fear in our hearts because we know that we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that we belong to God, therefore we have no concern about fiery judgments. That's talking about what is going to happen to someone else. That's incorrect. That's not right. Most of the fiery judgments that are taught in the Word of God are not about the eternal hell that those who are not God's people will be in, but rather it's talking about the fiery judgment that God sends on His people when they turn their backs on Him. God says in verse 22, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger." Now let me ask you this also. When you think of fire, do you normally think of a literal burning fire? Is that what you normally think about? That's what I normally think about, is a literal burning. Are there other ways you can have fire in your life besides a literal burning of a flame and fire? Many other kinds of fires. If you look very carefully at the next two verses, you'll see that there's a different kind of fire under consideration. He is not talking about a literal burning here. Verse 22, he says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger." You hear the wording in verse 24? What's he saying in verse 24? They shall be burnt with what? Hunger. They shall be burnt with hunger. Now, that's completely different from a literal fire. God's saying they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with a burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents of the dust. All the way through this chapter, God is talking about the fiery judgment that He's going to send on His children because they have rebelled against God. I want us to understand tonight, did you know that in the same experience, something can happen to a family and part of the members of that family will be experiencing fiery judgments, while other members of that family are not experiencing fiery judgments, but that rather they're experiencing a fiery trial of their faith. If people are serving God and loving God and obeying God, they're not experiencing the fiery judgments. When trouble comes, they're having fiery what? They're having fiery trials. First thing we're looking at right now is fiery judgments. Fiery judgments. Come down to verse 36 in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 36. The Word of God says, "For the Lord shall judge." What are the next two words there? The Lord shall judge who? His people. Who did Jesus save? Matthew 1:21. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Who does Jesus judge while they are here in this world? Who does God judge here on this earth? God judges His people, and that's what He's talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He's talking about the fiery judgments that comes on God's disobedient children. He says, "For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants, when He seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left, and He shall say, Where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted?" What rock did they trust in? You remember we started out this study tonight on God is the true rock? But are there other rocks that we can sometimes trust in? What God is saying is, I'm going to send my fiery judgments on my children, my people, and when I send those fiery judgments, I'm going to then say, now where is your rock? Where is your God that you trusted in? Where are the things that you depended on for joy? Why can't they bring you joy now? Listen, brethren, when God begins to bring His fiery judgments, we will not be able to find peace or joy at all in our lives. Go with me now to the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Are there things that you can do to stay out and not experience the fiery judgments of God? Are there things you can do that can keep you... I'm going to ask you a different question. Are there things that you can do to keep you out of hell? Okay, heads are going both ways. No, nothing we can do to keep... Jesus is the only one that keeps us out of eternal hell. Does everybody understand that? Jesus, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has kept us and will keep us out of eternal hell. But there is a hell, and that's what I'm talking about when I speak of fiery judgments that come on God's disobedient children. There is a hell for God's disobedient children while they live here in this world. And the Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus tells His people, He tells His disciples, if you don't want to experience hell, you better cut some things off in your life. You better get rid of some things in your life. Look in your Bibles now at Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43. Jesus is speaking in Jesus, and please follow this. This may sound like a lot of repetition, but it's in this repetition that words are going to be changed that unlock the truth of what He's speaking about. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43, the Word of God says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Is there a fire that does not kill worms? Is there a fire that does not kill worms? Have you ever been in a fire? Have you ever been in a hell that was hell for you that might not have affected those who were around you? Might not have been detrimental to them. He says, if thy hand offend thee, do what? Cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life. When He talks about entering into life, what is it He's talking about entering into? It is better for thee to enter into life, halt and maimed, that is without your hand. It is better for you to enter into life, halt and maimed, than having two hands to go into fire. What is the fire here? Okay, it's a hell on earth for God's disobedient children. Now please look in your Bibles at verse 45. And if thy foot offend thee, follow this carefully please. And if thy foot offend thee, it is better, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now listen to verse 47. What does life, what does it represent? Entering into life, what does that represent in those two previous verses that we've mentioned, entering into life? Kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. Now he explains that in verse 47. Verse 47 he says, "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Brethren, do you believe the people of God have choices to make while they live in their life? Do you believe you, as a born-again child of God, do you have two natures? And is there part of you that wants to do what's right and is there part of you that wants to do what's wrong? And what is it that Jesus is telling us here? He's saying, if you go ahead and fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you do that the flesh wants to do, you're going to suffer hellfire. But rather, if you obey God, and you cut it off, and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll enter into life. That's what he says twice. And then the third thing he says, enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will either, as a child of God, You will either experience the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or entering into life. You will either experience that or you will experience entering into hell while you live here in this world. That's the fiery judgments of God. Now, there are a lot of other scriptures. Any of you that want to study more about this fiery judgments, I'll be glad to give you more scriptures later. But I want to go right now to the fiery trials, because those are much different than the fiery judgments. The fiery judgments are a result of our disobedience, and the fiery trials come into the lives of God's people who are doing their best to serve the Lord. Look in your Bibles now. Let's go to 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking now not about fiery trials. And I want you to be sure that you understand the difference in fiery judgments and fiery trials. How many of you think you've ever experienced a fiery trial? How many of you think you've ever experienced fiery judgments? Okay, most of the same hands went up both times. I've experienced both in my life. Now let me ask you this question. Can you look at someone? Can you always know whether they're going through a fiery trial or a fiery judgment? Can you determine when people are suffering? Can you always tell whether it's a fiery trial or a fiery judgment? No, you cannot. You may look at someone, and as far as everything you can see in their life, you may think, now, that person loves God and fears God and is serving God. And then you may see great trouble come in that person's life, and you may conclude that is nothing but a fiery trial. And you may even have them say, I know that God is judging me, and I'm being punished. And you may say to them, and I'm cautioning you not to say this, you may say, this is not the judgments of God. This is a fiery trial. Listen, brethren, when somebody feels in their heart that they're being chastened of the Lord and that the punishment they're experiencing, that the trouble they're having is because of disobedience in their life, it is wrong for you to speak words of comfort and say it's not a fiery judgment, it's just a trial of your faith. You don't know what goes on in other people's minds and hearts and lives. And in the same breath, I would say that you better be careful about looking at people's lives, and when you see trouble in their lives, that you can then say to other people, that's a fiery judgment, that God is punishing them for what they did wrong. You don't know the mind of the Lord. And you better be careful about concluding when people have trouble, you better be careful about concluding that's a fiery judgment or that's a fiery trial, because you cannot tell, and you better leave that in the hands of the Lord. That's judging when you start trying to figure out why things happen in other people's lives. We had a preacher that fell out of a tree and he broke his arm. And that preacher said at a minister's meeting, he said, I know that God was punishing me for that. And there were about three preachers that hit the floor and said, God doesn't do anything like that. How dare you say that God was punishing you and you fell out and broke your arm? Listen, brethren, those preachers don't understand the God of the Bible. Did you know that? The God of this Bible will knock you out of a tree. He'll knock the tree out from under you. The God of this Bible will do all kinds of things you don't think God would do. The God will also sometimes catch you when you fall out of a tree. You understand that? God's an amazing God. He's a gracious God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, listen now, we're talking not about fiery judgment, but fiery trials. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, the Word of God says, and this is Peter speaking, and Peter says, Beloved, is he talking to children of God here? 1 Peter 4:12, he's talking to God's people. If you back up and read the beginning of this letter, he says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which might try you. Is that what it says? It doesn't say it might try you. The fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. What's he saying? What's Peter saying? Don't think it strange when fiery trials come into your life. You're going to have fiery trials. And you need to pray always that God... And listen, brethren, if you don't know when trouble comes in your life, if you deep down in your soul, if you don't know that you're being punished, I would say that it's a fiery trial. Everybody follow what I'm saying? I believe with all my heart that every time God punishes one of his children, he lets them know deep down in their soul, they know what's happening, and they know why it happened. Now, some people will lie to you, by the way, and tell you they haven't done anything wrong, and they'll pretend it's a fiery trial, when in reality, deep down in their soul, they know it's a fiery judgment. But I believe with all of my heart that God, when he judges his people, when he sends fiery judgments, you'll know in your heart if it's a fiery judgment. You may deny it. You may act like there is nothing that you've done that caused such a thing as that. But you need to understand that if you have done something wrong, you will know in your soul, God will let you know, this problem that you're having is because of your disobedience. Fiery trials. Fire is going to come in your life. Let me ask you this before we get into fiery trials. What is, if you were to explain, what is the effect of fire? What is the effect of fire? Brother Terry Smith, tell me, what is one of the purposes of fire? What is one of the purposes of fire? Yes, it cleanses, it cleans. You sometimes burn off a field. It's to clean off the field. How many of you have ever heard of refining silver or gold? What do you use to refine silver and gold? You use fire. What does the fire do when you're refining silver? How do you use that fire to refine the silver? What do? You put the heat on the silver and it burns away the dross and makes it more pure. I was talking to someone this past week and they were talking about a silversmith that they were asking, how do you know exactly how hot to get that silver when you are burning away the dross? How do you know not to go too far? How do you know exactly when to stop putting the heat to that silver? And that silversmith said to this person, when I see my face in the silver, when I can see my face, that's when it's as pure as I can get it. Do you follow that? Now, what do you think is the message there, Sister Arlene? That's right. When God sends the fire in our lives, and he can look at us and he says, now I see me. Now I can see me. I can see the characteristics of God. I see the attributes of God in that dear child. That's when you've been through the fire. That's true whether you consider the fiery judgments of God or the fiery trials. Either way, God can burn away the dross in fiery trials, or he can burn away the dross in fiery judgments. Either way, God does that. And that's taught, if you want to go home and study that, that's in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and really most of that chapter is dealing with the fire that the refiner. God is the refiner, and he's the one that sends the fire. Have you ever thought it strange about fiery trials that come? Somebody tell me, anybody that you know in the Bible that had some fiery trials in their lives. Not fiery judgments now, but fiery trials. Yes, Job is a... Job. You know, Teresa and I sometimes talk about this. We say, looks like you could come up with other examples, you know? But I'm telling you, no matter what you're preaching about, you can go to some of the same people over and over and you see the truth is taught in that passage. Job went through some fiery trials, didn't he? Not fiery judgments now, but fiery trials. And you know what Job said in Job 23, verse 10? He said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, when he's through trying me, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. I'll come forth as gold. He's been through the fiery trial. Can you see Christ in Job's life? Can you see that he went through those fiery trials? Did it bring about some purification in his life? Did it bring about, what did Brother Terry Smith say fire is used for? To cleansing. Have you ever been cleansed because of fiery trials? Have you ever been brought closer to God by some fiery trials that came in your life? Brethren, I hope that all of us will pray and study God's Word to be able to understand the difference in the fiery judgments and the fiery trials that come in the lives of God's children. And let me say again, I'll give you one example. One of the best friends I've ever had in my life was Tommy Daniel. That was a man that was 33 years old. He fell in the shower, cut his arm, and his three children and wife watched him bleed to death right there in their home. And I had different members of that family. Some of the members said, I don't understand why this happened, but I know that God's on His throne, and I know one day we'll understand. And his three children got up. We were having our annual meeting that same week after his funeral. And his three children got up and they sang, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. At that time, we thought that he had just changed jobs and they thought he was not going to get any insurance at all from either job because he had quit one job on a Friday, started another job on Monday, and they did not think he was going to have insurance from either job. He ended up getting insurance from both jobs. My point is, there were other members of that family that sat down and wept and grabbed me and screamed and cried. One of his brothers said, I know why God took my brother. He said, I've been living very ungodly, selling drugs, and he began to talk about all the kinds of things that he had been doing. He says, I know God is punishing me by taking my brother. Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What's the point? In that, as I looked at that family, and I see this happen all the time, as I watch what happens in different people's lives, sometimes it's trials of faith in some members of the family, and other members of the family, it's a fiery judgment. May God help us not to try to figure it out, but may God help us to examine our own lives. When things happen, may God help us to know whether it's a fiery trial or fiery judgment, is my prayer for Christ's sake.